Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, I tell you what, we are served up the most amazing worship on Sunday night. I'm so thankful for Robert and Michael and what they do for us as we worship Jesus on Sunday nights. I love worshiping the Lord with you guys on Sunday night. Who needs one of our listening guides? If you'll raise your hand, they will bring you one. Miss Rita and Miss Karen, thank you for this, for helping us by handing these out. And I would like to let you know a couple things as you have these handed out to you. Just keep your hands up if you don't have them. Patrick Englet has an infection, and he's kind of being observed at the ER at North Florida, so we want to be praying for Patrick. He's okay. He's going to be okay, but I got to see him this afternoon, and so I wanted you to know about that. The other thing is some of y'all may remember Mike Weaver, who was our college director way back in the day. Well, I don't want to say way back in the day because I was the youth director when he was the college director. But anyway, the guy was a lot older than me because Kathy and I talked this week, and she's giving him a surprise 70th birthday, which is, by the way, that's young. Amen? That's you know, hey. But anyway, so there's some little sheets in the back on the table. And if you know Mike and would like to encourage him, perhaps he impacted you in some way, or you were served with him, or you knew him, let's send him a note. We're actually sending it to Kathy. It's a surprise, okay? So I just wanted you to know about that. So that's in the back there for you as well. All right. At the very bottom of the sheet, I want you to write the name K.J. Choi. Just write it at the bottom of the sheet. I'm going to tell you about it later on. K.J. Choi. And do not let me finish tonight without telling you about that story. Tonight, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to open them to Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Now, quick review, we are studying wisdom, and boy, I'm excited about you guys being here tonight. I'm excited about us sharing together in this brief Bible study that we can study together. We're talking about wisdom. All that you desire cannot compare with wisdom, the proverb says. There's nothing you can have that's greater than wisdom. Number two here, under the very first lesson, those bold words are the topics that we've already covered as we've been through Proverbs. It begins, number two, with fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the word fear there means to recognize God's character and respond by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, and serving Him. And then when we were at the BCM, by the way, when we go back to the BCM, Will Frazier is going to be sharing his testimony with our group that night. It's going to be great. So, but when we were there, we studied Solomon's search. And he said it was all empty, and then the blank there is chasing the wind. It was all empty and chasing the wind. His final message was, I've tried all these different things, wealth and wine and work and wanton pleasure. And he said, it's all chasing the wind. He said, his final message was turn to the Lord. Remember thou thy creator in the days of thy youth. And then last week we talked about listening to wisdom. Anyone who distracts you from the wisdom of God is not a friend. That's the blank. They're not a friend. And we find that in the first chapter of Proverbs. And we need spiritual ears to hear spiritual wisdom. All right, so tonight's topic is anger. I want us to think about anger. Boy, there was a husband and a wife, and they were just, man, they were arguing. And I mean, the volume just kept going and kept going. And finally, he said to her, he said, let me tell you something. He said, you're just getting hysterical. She said, I'm not historical, I'm hysterical. He said, no, you're historical. You remember everything I've ever done wrong. You know, when we get to going on anger, bad things happen. And the Word of God tells us in the Proverbs about anger, and really there's a great price to pay when you talk about anger. Now, in the Hebrew language, here's the word in Hebrews, in Hebrew. Get that straight. It means his nose became hot. Now, have you ever talked to someone and you can tell they're getting angry? And their face just begins to get red. The word for anger in Hebrew actually is a word for nostrils. And I picture a horse, you know. And that is a visual. You know, the Hebrew language is very pictorial, and it's a visual of someone who gets hot and their nostrils enlarge. And their nostrils get hot. And it's a picture of anger. So we're just going to look at some verses here in the book of Proverbs about anger that I want you to see, okay? Number one, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16, let me find that. Proverbs 14, 16 says this, "A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident." And then if you look at chapter 14, verse 29, the scripture says, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." So here's the blank of number one. Anger is associated with the foolish. It's foolish people who allow their anger to control them. Now, we're going to look at some things that will demonstrate that and will show that as we dig into the book of Proverbs. In chapter 15, verse 1, the scripture says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So if you look at verse 18 of chapter 15, Proverbs 15, verse 18, it says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays or deflects contention." All right? So angry words will yield strife. It's going to cause contention. It's going to cause problems. Do you know that they did research on speech? And in Kenyon College, they proved through tests that when a person is shouted at, he simply cannot help but shout back. They've done studies on this. They said you can use this scientific knowledge to keep another person from becoming angry. How do you do it? Control the other person's tone of voice by your own voice. Psychology has proved that if you keep your voice soft, you will not become angry. Psychology has accepted as scientific the old biblical injunction, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." So one way to avoid anger and avoid shouting in others is you don't shout, you use a soft answer. Very important in dealing with people and resolving conflict. Number three, if you do not deal with anger on the inside, you'll never ultimately resolve it. If you look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 19, the scripture says, "A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again." In other words, if you just put a salve on top of anger and you just say, I'm just gonna control this right now and I can fix this, then you're going to have to be rescued again. Because you've got to deal with anger on the inside. We're going to talk a little bit towards the end about what that means, how to do that. But ultimately, you'll never resolve anger unless you deal with it on the inside. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 22. What are we doing? We're studying the book of Proverbs. We're looking at different proverbs and what the proverbs say about anger. So in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. It does not do you any good to have relationship with an angry person. It's costly to be friends with the angry. That's the blank there. It's costly to be friends with the angry. There's an old story that was written in a book called Twice Pardoned. You may remember this guy named Harold Morris. He was a young man who ended up in the Georgia State Penitentiary. He was actually in there for murder. And he tells the story of going with some guys, and he agreed to drive this car for these guys to rob a drugstore. And so he said, I'm going to drive the car. Now he said, look, you just tell me you're going to go in there and you're going to rob this store. I mean, that's wrong enough, right? But what happened was they got in there and got angry. And somebody made a move and they shot somebody. And then they actually were two people. They shot two and one of them died. And Harold Morris tells the story of realizing I was friends with the wrong people. And he ended up, they framed him, pinned it on him, although he was guilty and he went to prison. But he ended up getting pardoned. He talks about being twice pardoned. He got pardoned by Jesus Christ when he got saved, and he got pardoned from prison. But I've never forgotten that story, that who we associate with affects us. And the Bible says that when we make friends with angry people, what does that passage say in 22, 24, and 25? Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. If you're about to go somewhere with someone angry, you better watch out, because things are going to get out of control. And it says, lest you learn his ways and you set a snare for your own soul. Number five, anger makes you vulnerable to the enemy. If you look at chapter 25, go over a couple of chapters. This is Proverbs 25 and verse 28. The scripture says this: whoever has no rule over his own spirit. And by the way, sometimes when you look in Proverbs and it's talking about anger, it's a word that also is translated spirit or emotions. The word for anger, or to have a hot nose, is a word that's an emotional word, okay? And so our passage in 25:28 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit, whoever is so emotional they cannot control their anger, is like a city broken down without walls. I read a story about that anger. Well, let me just read it to you. Anger weakens a man. It puts him at a disadvantage in every undertaking in life. When Sinbad and his sailors landed on one of their tropical islands, they saw high up in the trees coconuts which could quench their thirst and satisfy their hunger. The coconuts were far above the reach of Sinbad and the sailors, but in the branches of the trees were chattering monkeys. Sinbad and his men began to throw stones and sticks at them. This enraged them, and they began to seize the coconuts and hurl them down to the men on the ground. That was just what Sinbad and his men wanted. They got those monkeys angry so that they would gather the food for them. That is a good illustration of how, by indulgence in anger, we play into the hands of our enemies. And the scripture says that you're like a city with broken down walls. You're vulnerable when you're angry. So it's very important we realize that. Number five, anger makes you vulnerable to the enemy. All right, number six, we're almost done. People ask, should I just say what I'm thinking? Well, people are all shaking their heads. All right, well, look what the proverb says. Proverbs 29:11 says this, a fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. If we'll just be quiet, strife will be avoided. Our vulnerability from the enemy will be avoided, and it will be a blessing if we'll do that. So, the answer is no. No. Don't just say, some people say, you know, you just ought to speak your mind. Or, you know, I'm known for speaking my mind. Well, that's why you don't have a lot of friends. Anger gets us in a mess. Okay, here's the last thing. The last thing is this. And look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3, and we'll be done. We'll be done early tonight. Wow. Proverbs 19:3. I may have to turn over and find another passage just to give everybody their hour's worth, okay? No, I'm kidding. Proverbs 19:3. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. Here's the truth there. When we are angry at people and circumstances, we are ultimately angry at God. I'll never forget hearing years ago about 10 unchangeables. I wish I could name the 10 unchangeables. I can't now. But your place in history is an unchangeable. You can't do anything about that. You were born when you were born. Me? July 13th. 1960. That's my birth date. I had nothing to do with it. What are some other unchangeables? You know, in many ways, our physical stature, how tall we are, is something that's unchangeable. Some people have lots of hair. Some people have red hair. Some people have no hair. That's kind of an unchangeable. Your family heritage is an unchangeable. Anyway, there's a lot of things about our lives that are unchangeable. And some people are just angry at life because of some of the unchangeables that were in their life. And I tell you, you'll never have victory spiritually in your Christian life. You never can be used of God the way God wants to use you if you go around all of your life moping and angry because of the unchangeables that have happened. God has allowed you to be in the situation you're in for a purpose, you know. And this became real to me when I was in college. Actually, it was a part of North Central when I heard this. And it really helped me to understand some of my background, you know. And I've told my story, and I had wonderful parents. But my parents split up when I was young, and my dad had a problem with alcohol. And, I mean, it was just a lot of things, you know. And so I kind of had to come to a conclusion. Am I going to let this make me bitter, or am I going to ask God to help me be better as a result of it? And I'll never forget sitting in an office with a teenager on the other side of the desk, and they were pouring out their heart to me about their parents splitting up, and it dawned on me. I remember this. I remember it dawned on me. God didn't plan that for me necessarily, that I would have to go through that. God took care of me. But he allowed it. And what Satan meant for evil, God could turn for good. I was able to look that teenager in the eye and tell him, hey, let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you my story. You're about to go through this. Can I tell you this, young person? God has a plan for you. God can use you. God wants to use you powerfully in this world. So But you know, all of us, we could put a microphone right here and all of us could get up and say, well, let me tell you what happened to me, how I was shortchanged in life. Let me tell you the tough situation I've had. Let me tell you this, let me tell you that. Listen, virtually everybody that I've come in contact with has got something they could say. So the truth of the matter is, let God give it to the Lord and don't let it make you bitter or angry. Because when we're angry at people and circumstances, we're ultimately angry at God. Look at Psalm 94:1. Psalm 94:1, it says this, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. In other words, if there is anyone in this world that has mistreated me, okay, if there's anybody in this world that's done me wrong, if there's any problem I've got that's a circumstance outside of myself that I had no control over, you know what? I know a really good judge. And guess what? It's not me. It's God Almighty. God is the judge. Lord, vengeance belongs to you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, look at that verse. Romans 12:19, it says, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The truth of the matter is, when that guy cut you off in traffic, when that person said that to you at work, when that person said that to you at school, when that person was ugly to you in that way, you don't know what they've been through. And the truth of the matter is, God's going to sort all that out. You know what? You've been saved. You've been born again. You're favored by God. You're loved by the Lord. You've got a church family right here. You've got people that love you, that are praying for you, that care about you. And so you've got a choice. Either you're going to say, you know what? I don't know what's wrong with this guy. You know? Just go on. Just go on about your business. By the way, when you're sweet to people, you can make a difference. Let me show you a verse of Scripture. Look at Proverbs 25, and these are not on your sheet. You have to write these on there. Proverbs 25, verse 22. Look at this. Well, start with verse 21, I'm sorry. Verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap coals of fire on his head. And the Lord will reward you. I don't know if I'm reading that right. I think the Lord's checking my motives. I think that only works when you seriously, honestly want to be a blessing to your enemy. I'm not sure if you should be motivated to heap coals of fire on, but the Bible says that. When you're sweet to people, it makes a difference. So I want us to think about anger tonight. I want us to think about anger. By the way, K.J. Choi, you can write down the 2011 Players' Championship. He won that tournament. He's the most decorated Asian golfer on the PGA Tour in history. Probably there's some eclipsing him now. But at the time, he was. And matter of fact, one time, Mr. Brannon tells a story. The story keeps growing, though, as I've heard the story. But he went to see that he was at that tournament, and KJ Choi walked by, and Mr. Brannon shared one of his two phrases that he knows in Korean. He probably knows more than two, but he said "Annyeonghaseyo," and KJ stopped. What does that mean, by the way? Like hello or something like how are you? That's right. Hello, be good, all right? And then he said to him, he said, "Kamsahamnida." And I think there's one of those that means God bless you. But anyway, so from working with international, and so KJ stopped, and later we were following. He actually won the tournament that year. But there was an interview that was done with him, and they said to KJ Choi, they said, tell me how you have, what is the biggest challenge that you have. He said, to control my anger. And come to think about it, I've gotten pretty angry on a golf course before because that ball does not go where I have tried to hit it. And so he would say, you know, he was lining up a putt, and he said, you know, I'd miss that putt. And in my early days, I would get angry. He said, but God has helped me. And he is a believer in Christ, and he talked about how anger, controlling anger, helped him. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Jesus left heaven's glory, Philippians tells us, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took on himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. And he took on himself the form of a servant. And he was obedient, the Bible says, unto death, even the death of the cross. Basically, the Lord Jesus gave up his rights. Now, he was the Son of God. He never lost that. But he left heaven's glory to come to this earth, and we're to be that way. You know, the truth is, you've been born again. You've been bought with a price. You don't have a bunch of rights. And many times we get angry because we think someone has messed with the way we think things ought to be. So what I want you to think about doing is this week, if you're angry at anyone, I mean, you're something that somebody did to you, some way somebody responded to you, and I've had to do this. And this is not a one-time thing, but there may be some things built up. Why don't you go home and say, you know what? I'm going to make a list of every person that I'm angry at and every circumstance that I'm just angry about. And then why don't you take that and say, Lord, you're the judge. Lord, help me to forgive those that have done something that have caused me to be angry. Don't let anger control your life. And so you give those to the Lord and say, Lord God, you are the judge. You'll make it right. You know more about it than I know. And so, Lord, give me the freedom to be able to live for Jesus Christ without anger. You don't look good with a red nose. You don't look good with your nostrils all dilated. And I don't either. Now, this is easier said than done, but it begins by saying, Lord, you know what? You've saved us. You're the judge. You take care of the people that have caused me to be angry. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.